As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This is it. This is a good one. Good one. Good job with the music. I appreciate you freshening this up. The Rage? Zach De La Rocha. 7:02, good morning. Welcome to your Friday. It is Dean Blundell and Company. Lots going on. We had a busy day today. We're going to send you to the weekend with some MLS. As MLS Cup final is tomorrow night. Toronto FC versus the Seattle Sounders. It's going to be fun. Dwayne DeRosario is going to be here on 7:15, former TFC forward and Canadian international, former MLS MVP and four-time MLS Cup champ. Dude's won it four times, and he's from this city. And I saw him the other day at lunch, and I know he's excited for this game. I said, hey, you excited for the game? He goes, absolutely. So he's tasted it, he's touched it, he knows what's going on, and he will be here coming up momentarily with the MLS Cup. Are we allowed to touch it? Are we allowed to do that?
It might burn our hand, Dean, because it's so awesome.
Let's be serious. Are we allowed to touch it?
Well, we'll figure that
because
out.
Because of the Stanley Cup, you wouldn't, like, would you touch it? If the Stanley Cup was in front of you, would you pick it up?
Apparently you're not allowed to pick it up over your head if you haven't won it, but you're allowed to touch it.
Whatever. If no one's looking, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
Pick it up over your head, throw
anything
it over your shoulder like a Continental Soldier, do your ears hang low. I'd pick that thing up. So that's what I'm saying. If I'd pick up the Stanley Cup, am I allowed to pick up the MLS Cup even though I didn't win it?
It's an interesting question, right? Because hockey players who have won it would be angry. Well, you can ask D-Row. He's won it four times. Like, would guys like him and Landon Donovan and MLS legends be mad that Dean Blundell and George Russick are hoisting that sucker? I don't know. It's a great question.
And I'm going to the game tomorrow, and I have a feeling I'm probably going to get on the field to celebrate with the team. At least this is sort of what I've been told, is that they would like me on the field.
Really?
Being the supporter that I've been lately, yeah.
A staunch MLS backer is what you've been called.
Doesn't matter when you come to the party as long as you're at the party, right? And I'm at the party big time.
And Dean and I are ready to explode off the bandwagon if they lose, too.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is if they lose, I won't be talking about this team for another year at least.
See you later.
No, I'm serious.
Pressure's on, TFC.
Is the trophy big?
We'll find out.
Poll question's up, by the way.
What do you got?
At It's Dean Blundell. After please hit me.
Gregorius.
Dear God. After a quiet winter meetings and missing out.
That's an understatement.
Right, and missing out on Dexter Fowler, do you trust Shapiro and Atkins to make the Jays better by April? Yes, they'll figure it out. Or no, this is going south. 66% say no, this is going south. So we'll update you on that throughout the morning. Not much faith after a not so lovely start to the offseason for the Blue Jays.
And I have very specific thoughts on the awful job that they've done so far this year. But anyway, we'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. Hold on. Also, Ariel Helwani will join us this hour. Journalist, MMAfighting.com, host of the MMA Hour, MMA Beat. He is a super MMA journalist. That'll be coming up in a few minutes. Also, give you a chance to win some Leaf Sharks tickets. So, big day. Right now, it is time for an update. Here's my man, George. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Dean. And this update is brought to you by Niagara Falls View Casino. Baseball's winter meetings wrapped up near Washington, D.C. yesterday with one of the biggest fish in free agency being reeled in. Center fielder Dexter Fowler, a guy the Jays have been targeting all offseason, is now a member of the St. Louis Cardinals. John Heyman of FanRag Sports and MLB Network tweeted last night, Gregorius, quote, Dexter Fowler has a deal with the St. Louis Cardinals. It's expected to be big. We're hearing 5 years for Dexter Fowler, which is a lot.
5 years, $80 million, $16 million a year. The Jays were 4 years, $15 million a year, $60 million for the whole deal. So they cheap-assed it.
Can't blame them. Fowler, who turns 31 in March, had a .393 on base for the Cubs in 2016. He had 13 homers and stole 13 bases in 125 games. Sportsnet's Shai Davidi says the Jays won't get pushed around by free agents.
The Blue Jays have been pretty disciplined in their walkaway points so far this offseason. We saw that in their negotiation with Edwin Encarnacion. We saw that in their negotiation with Brett Cecil and Joaquin Benoit. And the Blue Jays made the point the other day. Ross Adkins said that the Blue Jays had made their offers. They were comfortable where they were right now, and they didn't really feel a need to move off them.
Yeah, our Ben Nicholson Smith.
Hey, can I, before you go any further, when he says disciplined in their walkaway plan, I'm going to tell you exactly what that is, okay? And I alluded to it before, but it's almost like a janitor calling himself a sanitary engineer. That's the same thing.
What do you do for a living?
He's putting such a wonderful spin on it, and you give Shai full marks because he's really good at his job. But when someone says, what do you do for a living, and you're a janitor, you never say janitor. You go, I'm in the sanitary engineering business. When he says walk-away plan, discipline in their walk-away plan, what he's really saying is this, is that they swung and missed at a ton of stuff over the winter meetings. And they have done absolutely nothing to make this team better. And all of your efforts as fans to go to these games are in absolute disarray, and they don't care about them because they haven't done anything to reward you or this team or make it better. And you're coming away from those winter meetings with Brett Oberholzer, if that's his name, a guy named Oberholzer. You're coming away with Steve Pierce. And that's pretty much it. Oh, and by the way, Glenn Sparkman from the Rule 5 draft yesterday. Who's Glenn Sparkman? Who cares?
Got him.
Because his name isn't Dexter Fowler. That's the problem that we have here. Because is that they're, everybody seemingly, and I know it's not just the business or the company, but the truth of the matter is, and it's going to be an unpopular opinion within these walls, and the opinion is this, is that Ross Adkins and Mark Shapiro somehow think they're smarter than all of baseball. And therefore, they don't understand.
Or they have a budget, well, and they're trying to properly use that budget
to fill all these holes. I don't care if they have a budget. Well, you know what? Their budget included Dexter Fowler, and they lost. Okay? And if you're telling me that budget, we're going $15 million here for 4 years, there's no way we're going $16. No way. That extra million, that's going to kill us. That's bull crap.
It's hilarious how the look of the Blue Jays front office has changed. When they offer that four-year, $80 million deal to Edwin, you're like, wow, that's a really good deal. Screw Edwin and his agent for not signing with the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
But now, what's the excuse for Dexter Fowler?
Well, the excuse for Dexter Fowler is that this is how they're going to spin it. Well, he's a free agent, and Blair said this on Twitter the other day, he has to want to be here. So if their excuse is he didn't want to be here, well, I'll tell you something. Money makes people do a lot of stupid things, including signing where they traditionally don't want to be. And if someone came up to me and said, oh, here's a boatload of money, come over here and work, I'd probably have to consider it no matter how happy I am here.
Well, that's what baseball is, Dean. They'll go for an extra dollar.
But that's not what they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you that he went to St. Louis because he didn't want to be here. And the fact of the matter is, had you overpaid what you have to get people here to begin with, and everybody seems to understand that, with the exception of these two geniuses, and I do believe they're actually quite bright, that they seem to think that this is where people should want to play. You can't coax people here with money. You know what? You're not smarter than everybody else in Major League Baseball. You've come away with the winter meetings with Jack Squat.
Baseball's the one sport.
Fans in this city deserve, want, and need way more than they've been given by these two. And this team is significantly worse from the start of the year this year to where we are now.
And it's December.
But okay, that's right. But don't kid yourself. Baseball is the one sport where you can overpay and guys don't care where they're playing. They absolutely do not care as long as they make the most amount of money. And their union wants them to sign at the place that's going to pay them the absolute most amount of money. And if this organization wants to spin the fact that, hey, we try to get Edwin, we try to get Dexter Fowler, but when you get that little notice in the mail saying that all 81 regular season home games at Rogers Center, all the prices have been jacked up, on your season's tickets or on your holiday
packs. And by the way, the reason why we jacked him up is so we could pay Steve Pierce?
You have a right as a fan to be upset. If the payroll is going to jump.
Here's the other part of that. You say it's only December.
Well, that's the thing. They make a trade or make another signing.
Hang on.
And the team looks good.
Who's left? You say make another signing? Who's left?
Well, that's a good question. That's
and
why.
So you could have gotten it done, and you could have overpaid a little bit to make this team better, but you didn't. So now it's going to cost you way more, because you're going to have to pay the money to get whoever it is. And then on top of it, you're going to have to give up some youth.
Or somebody off your major league roster.
Something off your roster. So the team effectively is going to have to pay way more for the fact that just if they would have just paid an extra million and another year to get Dexter Fowler. And you kidding me?
And you see them really doing it when it makes sense to kind of rebuild the prospect capital, right? If you want to be sustainable, it's tough to see them making a big deal for a McCutcheon or an impact player that will get fans excited. Look, I think today is a good day to be upset, because Fowler made a lot of sense, and you're right. All it was dough, so go get it done.
Perfect fit.
I get that. The only thing, but just to say that this is the way the team's going to be, and for sure they're going to suck next year.
This is what we have now.
But yes, but you don't win a freaking award for winning the winter meetings. You don't. How does it look in April? Right
now, but you invigorate your fan base by winning the winter meetings. You invigorate the
it doesn't matter.
You make your team better. Are you telling me that Boston didn't win the winter meetings and they look like they will probably without question win the American League East because of what they did at the winter meetings? I'm telling you, yes.
The Jays won the winter in 2013 and that season blew up in their face.
Right. It's how the team looks in April.
But it's missing out on a guy who could have improved their team. That's what you should be upset about. Don't be upset about the whole, you know, you won the winter meetings. That's all crap. The San Diego Padres won the winter meetings last year, and they were a complete joke. This guy was the perfect fit for this team. Top of the lineup, switch hitter, gets on base, and the only thing it would have cost him was a little extra money, and they decided to cheap out. That's the frustrating thing.
They cheap-assed it, and they cheap-assed the fans. And if you're a fan this morning and you're waking up to the news that Dexter Fowler wants nothing to do with the Blue Jays because they were light by a year and a million per, you should be pissed off.
You should be.
But then do you get happy if they somehow find a good deal for Edwin, bring back Jose and make a trade for Jaber or something like that? Then you start saying, oh, these guys are smart.
No, because it wasn't plan A. Like,
oh, God,
you got to win on plan A.
Everybody wins on plan A, and that's
how
you do.
I do. I win on plan A.
Okay, but he's not played on paper in these fantasy lands after the winter meetings.
But if that does happen, if they do re-sign Edwin and Jose, they're back to where they were last season and didn't address all the issues of the team.
Right, because you wanted to win in a different way.
More left-handed, more athletic, and younger. And none of that's happened.
No. They literally did nothing. They told us what the plan was and did none of it.
What they did do,
zero,
was they selected.
They got older and worse.
They got 24-year-old righty Glenn Sparkman in the Rule 5 draft yesterday. Apparently, he's got a good breaking ball.
I'm going to call him Sparky.
Yeah, or spark plug. A good changeup. And has a fastball that can reach 95. So that's really good. If you remember, the Jays got Joe Biagini last year in the Rule 5 draft. That really worked out. Hey, the Raptors last night took on the Minnesota Timberwolves down at the ACC with DeMar DeRozan throwing down the jam of the year.
Now the touchdown pass down the floor. Patterson to Carroll. Too strong off glass. Look out! My goodness! DeMar DeRozan just leapfrogged over Ricky Rubio and threw down a dirty slice of some grilled cheese. Wow! DeRozan with the exclamation point on what will be a Raptor victory. Holy cow!
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan had 27 points. Kyle Lowry
was unbelievable. If you didn't see that, I think we've retweeted it. @ Dean Blundell. You got to check it out. That was just a flush.
It was
a dirty slice of some grilled cheese.
Dirty slice of some grilled cheese.
Sure was. DeMar 27, Kyle 25. Wraps over the
like
T-Wolves.
Dirty. Like drop it. Like having a slice of grilled cheese in a public washroom and dropping it, and then picking it up and eating it anyway. That dirty.
I don't think there's such a thing as a 5-second
rule. A dirty slice of some grilled cheese.
No. Well, it depends on your resources, right?
Raptors win 124-110.
If you got nothing and you're starving, you still might.
Dwayne Casey, not happy with the defense.
If we're serious about going anywhere, doing anything special, our defense and our attention to detail, our passion for defense, I give a crap level for defense has to pick up.
Yeah, he got all choked up because the defense was no good last night for the Raptors. They face the Celtics in Boston tonight in a game you can watch at 7:30 on Sportsnet 1 and, of course, stream it on Sportsnet Now. Hey, let's get to football. Last night was a good matchup in Kansas City. It was a battle for the AFC West lead. It was the Chiefs and Raiders in Kansas City. taking it to the house on special teams.
Punt is away. The crowd chanting Tyreek, Tyreek as Hill takes it. The number one punt returner in the league. At the 25, puts his foot in the ground. 35, 40. Gets a block midfield. Cuts it back. 40, 30. Goodbye, Oakland. Tyreek Hill. 10, 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. 77-yard punt return for a touchdown.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill turning into a dynamic playmaker for the Chiefs. He had that punt return touchdown, also caught one. Chiefs beat the Raiders 21-13 to tie Oakland top the AFC West with a 10-3 record. We'll talk to Jason Lacanfora coming up at 8:02. We'll ask him, what do the Chiefs have to do to be taken seriously in the NFL? What has to happen? Because right now, they look like one of the best teams in football. And since October of last season, Dean, yeah, they have the best record in the NFL.
Yeah, what are they, 21-25 since October last year? Andy Reid, everywhere he goes, he wins. He's a heck of a head coach. And he seems to have a lot of faith in Alex Smith, specifically the start of last year. Remember when Alex Smith started to struggle and he was the check down king?
Yep.
Let's check it down. Let's throw a 5-yard ding pass, and he'd have a guy 30 yards deep, and he'd be wide open, and he still wouldn't throw the ball. Jeremy Mack, let me stand there going, I'm over here. No one's here. And he was like, I don't feel comfortable. But Alex Smith can throw that deep ball, and he's opened up the field, and that's a really, really good football team. You still don't buy it, do you? At least I don't until they do something significant. Like, get to a Super Bowl, win a meaningful game, and right, not just one round. I mean, like, really go deep, maybe a conference championship. But at the same time, you can't ignore how successful and consistent that organization's been over the past few seasons, anyway, since Andy Reid's been there.
Maple Leafs had the night off. They will face the Bruins in Boston in tomorrow night in a game you can hear right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Thank you, sir. It is 7:17. This hour is brought to you by Jack Link's Hangry Moments. Don't be hangry. Reach for a bag of Jack Link's beef jerky. Feed your wild side. So the MLS Cup is here this weekend. Toronto FC against the Seattle Sounders. And I like our chances. And if you talk to anybody that understands the game and loves the game, you know the Toronto FC is easily favored in this match this weekend. And sitting in front of us right now, the Philip F. Anschutz Trophy.
It is.
The MLS Cup, ladies and gentlemen. The MLS Cup is here, and it is glorious and magnificent.
I thought that the trophy handler was actually going to, we were going to ask him a question about it or something, but he just dropped it off with his white gloves.
He just left. Thanks, guys. Yeah, really
thanks,
appreciate it. And Dwayne DeRosario is on his way in, or we're going to get him on the phone here coming up in just a couple of minutes. But I'll tell you something. You know, we've... And you can malign things that you don't like if you don't understand them. I am putting my money where my mouth is this weekend, George.
You are indeed.
As are you. To the tune of several hundred dollars to go to this game this weekend. Because I believe in this team. And I want to see a championship. That's how starved we are. It's a hell of a trophy, isn't it? And I don't think you're allowed to touch it, though. I don't think you're... No, you can't touch it. Because the dude came in here with, like, white gloves. And he put it down.
Are we allowed to touch it?
No, don't touch it. I don't think we're allowed to touch it. Is Dwayne on the phone? Is he there? Welcome to the program. Former MLS Cup champion, four-time, and former MVP of Major League Soccer, Dwayne DeRosario. Hey, man, how are you?
Good, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, listen, I saw you at a restaurant the other day, and I noticed that you were eating light.
Hey, never know when you can get that call up, right?
So yeah. Great to talk to you. Listen, is it weird having this? I know the MLS Cup has been here before, but Toronto FC is not in it. You being a Toronto guy and winning it before, how significant is Toronto being in this thing and playing at home?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of surreal. I mean, the energy that's surrounding this event, the MLS Cup final, it's unbelievable. I mean, the support that it's getting. You know, and that's one thing, you know, growing up as a kid, we always played for, we always, you know, fought hard for is to get this sport to a place where it is now. And, you know, I'm just happy for not only for the organization and the players, but the fans that have been through, you know, many years of trials and tribulations and having the opportunity now to play MLS Cup Finals here in your hometown and to be a part of it, it's just great. So you know, it's great for the next generation coming up. And, you know, it's something that you could definitely continue to build off of.
Now, you've been, obviously, you're here in the lean times, Dwayne, and you've experienced success as a champion, as an MVP of the league. But this being, you know, an organization that obviously is your hometown organization, and like I said, yes, being here during the dark times, how does this play for you? Like, do you look back and go, man, you know, take 5-6 years off my life, would I love to be on that pitch in my hometown?
Yeah, I think any footballer is saying that right now. To have that opportunity to play in a game like this, at this magnitude, in your hometown, it's great. I'm happy for the guys, and I know they're ready to grab with both hands and just really soak up the experience. It's going to be unbelievable atmosphere. I think everyone saw and witnessed what kind of environment at BMO Field the fans could create. I think that's just a little taste of what you're going to really see come tomorrow 8 p.m. At that field. This whole city is going to be shaken.
Dwayne, how important is it that Toronto FC didn't go the route of a lot of teams in MLS and maybe grab a player, a big name out of Europe, who is obviously past their best before date, and they have guys like Giovinco, Altidore, and Michael Bradley who are in their prime. How important is that TFC decided to finally go that route and build their franchise that way?
Well, I mean, it's worked out for them, and I think you know, you have a player like Giovinco as well, who's fairly in his prime, fairly young, and like you mentioned, Michael Bradley and Jose Altidore. But what's even more special is the academy and the young kids growing up and what the future holds for this club and this organization. It's very bright. I mean, I have my two boys playing in the academy, and you know, they're so excited and pumped for this game, and it's good because the energy translates right through the young kid that wears that badge proudly.
Mm. Yeah, it's amazing the trickle-down effect that obviously a championship and a successful professional sports franchise can have on a city. Dwayne DeRosario is our guest, former MLS Cup champion, four-time champ, former MVP, former Toronto FC. Are we allowed to touch this thing? Like, it's like the Stanley Cup where you're not allowed to lift it over your head. Like, if just guys like me, and you, I know you know me, you know, I could probably sign at the age of 43 because of how fit I am and play for 4 or 5 years, but I just don't want to. So am I allowed to lift this thing over my head or no?
When we win it, you can. Right now, unless you want the guy in the white gloves to tackle you.
Dude, the guy's here. He came in with a white gloves. But am I allowed to touch? Are people allowed to touch it? What's the protocol with this thing?
No, I mean, I think it's just the respect factor of the cup, you know, in the blood, sweat, and tears that it takes to hold the cup. You know, it's only for those who have the opportunity to win and be in a situation where they can hold the cup. Like you mentioned, I was fortunate to hold for them, and I wouldn't like anybody to touch the cup unless it was the winning hands.
So, unless they earned it.
Don't touch the cup.
Yeah, well, I swear. We won't. Did you drink out of it?
Yeah.
What'd you drink out of? What did you put in?
Listen, there's only one thing you could drink out of a cup, and that's champagne.
Okay. Nice. You didn't put beer in it?
Yeah, who knows what entered the cup after that.
Yeah.
But it starts with champagne.
Did you do some stuff with it you don't want to talk about here?
Hey, listen, if the cup could talk, I think...
You'd be in trouble?
I think it's seen some things.
Well, now I'm for sure not touching it. Dwayne, appreciate you doing this, bud. We'll see you tomorrow down at BMO Field. But thanks for doing this, pal. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for the support, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Anytime. Kickoff at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. The MLS Cup. The winner gets this beautiful trophy, which is right next to me, and I promise I will not touch it because I have not earned it, George.
It'll be pitch side, and we can stare at it during the match tomorrow.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful thing, and it happens here this weekend as we're all excited. Ariel Helwani, MMA super journalist, is here. We will join him next, and we'll talk UFC 206 here in Toronto tomorrow night. That is next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
7:30. Hi, welcome to Sportsnet 590, The Fan. My name is Dean. That is George. We have two Ryans and a Jessica, only for one more day. Jessica's last day. She's going to Montreal, where our next guest is from. Coming up in just a couple seconds, Ariel Helwani, super MMA journalist. Dude loves it. And big Montreal sports booster, too. He's got his Habs clothing on.
I like it.
Not a sharp look here.
It's tight.
Yeah, if I didn't respect the hell out of what you do, I would be very upset, Ariel.
Why?
Well, it's just it's a Habs thing. I hate that.
It's the better team, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's the better team. I'm a proud Montrealer, but I do love Canada. I do love Toronto. It's great to be here. It's been a while since the UFC. By the way, thank you so much for having me in the studio.
Oh, absolutely. Our pleasure.
This is a blast.
Yeah.
This is really cool. This is where Mike Wilner sits?
That's where Mike Wilner sits.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got disinfected a lot. Bobcat, Jeff Blair.
Bobcat sits here. Jeff Blair sits there.
Blundell, George. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's nice of you. Anyway, excited you're here. We got to do a quick update, and then we'll get to Ariel Helwani coming up in just a second as UFC 206 is in this beautiful city this weekend. We'll get to the card. We'll get to some of the rumors and some fun stuff. Ariel Helwani is here joining us in just a couple of seconds. Hold on for that. Right now, it is time for an update. Here's George. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean, and it's brought to you by Park and Fly. Raptors won 124-110 last night at home against Minnesota. DeMar had 27. Kyle added 25. Raptors in Boston tonight to square off against the Celtics. Catch it at 7:30 on Sportsnet 1. Bad news, Blue Jays fans. Free agent Dexter Fowler has decided to sign with the St. Louis Cardinals. Apparently, the center fielder is going to ink a 5-year deal. The Blue Jays did make a move and picked up Glenn Sparkman in the Rule 5 draft.
Yeah!
Thursday nighter was a great one last night. Chiefs all over the Raiders in Arrowhead 21-13 and Maple Leafs off tonight. They play the Bruins tomorrow night in Boston in a game you can hear right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Thank you, sir. Again, great pleasure to welcome our next guest. He is an MMA super journalist, as we've been calling him, and rightfully so. Journalist for MMAfighting.com, host of the MMA Hour, the MMA Beat, and he's in studio with us to talk UFC 206, which is here this weekend. Ariel Helwani, good to have you.
Yes. It's so exciting to be here. I'm a little, I'm a little torn because you guys were talking TFC and they beat my beloved Montreal Impact. So I felt like the booking was it was a little weird though to book me right after all that TFC talk. I felt like it was a bit of
a jab.
Just a little bit.
You know what? I never take those things personally. Like I never, if my team beats a buddy of mine's team, I never call them and go, huh, because I think that's what losers do.
Oh, wow.
But I will say this is that it was a great game. It was a great series.
Yes.
It was, I believe, a two-legger.
Yes.
I think that's what they call it.
Seems like you're a big a big supporter of the cause.
Yeah. But hey, listen, you can't argue with the fact that both of those teams, they draw legit crowds.
They do.
Don't they?
61,000 at the Big O, the future home of the Montreal Expos. I don't know if you heard Rob Manfred say yesterday that he's hoping to go back to Montreal permanently. I know this is not why you had me on at all, but I'm just going to kind of steer the topics into my own interests.
I'm happy that you talked, because more people, you know, and a lot of people, George said this yesterday, I'm happy you brought that up, because that kind of flew under the radar, didn't it? The winter meetings, that Tampa Bay is in deep trouble.
Seven straight year, their season's tickets are down. There's no new stadium on the plans, not even close to being built. And all of a sudden, I think baseball owes it to Montreal to give them another shot.
And they have that horrible lease with Tropicana Field. I would never advocate, I would never wish that a fan base loses its team. I know how it feels. I know what it felt like when people said to me, Expos fans, I mean, there's only like three of you. What do you guys care if you lose your team? I know that there are fans. But I'm just saying, if any team wants to come to Montreal, you will be well received with open arms.
Do you think it'll work this time?
Yes.
You do?
They got to get the stadium downtown. There's a fan base there. Let's not forget that there's a rich history of baseball in Montreal.
Yeah, sure.
Montreal Royals, Jackie Robinson. I don't have to tell you guys. So the people are starving for it. And look what happens when the Jays come for spring training. I know that's two games once a year, but there is a deep passion for baseball in the city of Montreal.
Is there truth that it has to be an open-air stadium because people in Montreal want it to be outside instead of
a dome? It would be nice if it's retractable like you guys have here, but I think a 35, 40,000-seat stadium downtown. Think about this. I mean, as you guys know, you're from Canada, but like in the summertime, there's what, like two great months of weather here?
Yeah.
No one wants to go in the middle of July out into the boonies and sit in this, you know, white elephant of a dome that doesn't open up. It's just, it's hard to get people to go out there. And that was the problem. People in Montreal want to celebrate. They want to go out. They want to go out after at 10 o'clock.
They want to go out downtown.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you put the stadium downtown, and we had a piece of land right next to the Bell Center, but the Grinch who killed baseball in Montreal, Jeffrey Loria, gave it up when he took over the team in the early 2000s.
The Grinch. He kills baseball everywhere he goes.
One of the worst people in the history of sports.
Ariel Helwani is our guest. He is, of course, the journalist, MMAfighting.com, host of the MMA Hour, MMA Beat here in studio. We're talking baseball. We'll also talk Habs a little bit. I don't know if you saw what Carey Price did yesterday.
Did you guys see that? That's my guy. That's straight out of MMA, what he was doing. You don't mess with Carey Price, the best goalie in the league. You try to go out at his legs, you're going to get a few blockers to your body. Why not? I have no problem with it.
Yesterday beat the hell out of somebody with his blocker to the
Palmieri.
Chaz Palmieri. And punched him, I don't know, 40 times in the ribs with his blocker. Is he going to get suspended for that?
No, he's not going to get suspended.
Because he's Carey freaking Price.
Because he's Carey Price, and he was protecting his own crease. And we were laughing about this yesterday, Ariel. Obviously, losing Alex Galchenyuk long-term, that's a huge loss. Yes. And people were trying to pretend like losing David Desharnais is a big loss. They had that guy on waivers, and it's really time for the Habs, I think, because I'm a diehard Habs fan too.
You are
to move on from David Desharnais,
and insufferable.
And this is why Leaf fans don't get this. The only reason why David Desharnais is still on the team is because he's French Canadian.
That's always been a weird thing with the,
and that's the frustrating part.
Yes, when they hire the coach, when the general, it's like only in Montreal does the language that you speak or what your mother tongue is matter, which I think is ludicrous as an Anglophone. But back to Carey Price, I mean, he's had his injuries. To me, if you're going to go in there, and I know earlier in the game they kind of went at him a little bit and they scored a goal, which he conceded was a fine play, although he seemed annoyed. I have no problem with it. I love the fact that he's like this quiet killer. Like, he has no emotion. Right. And then you mess with him and he will beat the crap out of you.
And that was his knock early on in his career.
Yeah.
That he didn't have any emotion.
He didn't care.
He didn't care. And
saw
he was
lots
too
of it
calm.
Yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. But you know what you love about the guy is that you're right. He doesn't, you know, there are players out there that toot their own horn that have no business doing it. You never hear from him.
No. I love that.
He just does his job better than anybody else who's ever done that job and then goes home. And I like that about him, too. And I think there's two schools of thought, right? And you know, this translates into every sport, into MMA. You know, do you love the characters that just go out there and beat on a guy? Or do you love the Conor McGregors of the world that build it up and are true sportsmen and showmen? Because that's really, I mean, you look at your sport, you look at MMA, and that's really what carries the day, does it not?
That's
a guy
good segue
like
there. You're a veteran broadcaster.
Thank you very much.
I think in mixed martial arts and in combat sports, you need to have a persona. You need to have a personality. It's important to be unique. That's why myself and many other fans were disappointed when the UFC instituted this uniform. Now all the fighters have to wear the same thing. And I feel like one of the great things about combat sports, like look at Mike Tyson, for example, when he came out with the black shorts, the black boots, no socks, that was badass. Yeah. And they're stripping that from the guys. There's a fighter fighting tomorrow night named Emil Mech. He's from Norway. He calls himself Emil Valhalla. This guy looks honestly like a Norwegian Viking. I mean, incredible hair, incredible body, incredible beard, just an amazing look. He's going to have to wear this Reebok outfit, fine. But he usually walks out to his fights with this massive axe. It's an unbelievable weapon. This is his UFC debut, and they've told him he can't walk out to it. Why not? That's just like part of his persona. That gets people emotionally invested.
What was the reason they gave him?
Because they have a uniform policy now. And
the uniform policy doesn't include this big axe?
The UFC is very buttoned up now. They're owned by WME, IMG. They have to, you know, it's no longer the dark days of fighting. You are what you are. This is cage fighting, and I love it more than anyone out there, but I feel like they're moving away from the individuality of the fighters, and that's a mistake.
Now, what is it about UFC? Because you talk about it becoming as corporate as it's become, and it has, because it's big money now. You know, a few billion dollars for an organization that was originally bought for what, $20
million? $2 million.
$2 million?
The greatest return on investment in the history of sports. Yeah, Lorenzo Fertitta.
Other than selling people water in a
yeah, that's right.
That is maybe one of the greatest returns on investment. But I have to ask, you know, because I love, you know, I love the Bobby Orrs of the world that score and then just go line up on the blue line again and get ready. I love the players that, and we talk about personality. But why would they, if they see what side of the bread the butter's on with the Conor McGregors of the world, why would they then hold that out as an example in their sport and then try and curb it?
Well, money. they got paid a lot of money from Reebok to do this. So back in the day, as you know, and I'm not here to, you know, like, I understand this is a business and they've come a long way, but they used to say that they didn't like when the fighters looked like they were NASCAR drivers with tons of sponsors and things like that on them. And so we're trying to clean up the sport. We're trying to make the sport, you know, comparable to the NBA, NFL, NHL. And this is actually a very hot topic in our sport because there's a lot of people that are coming out trying to unionize the fighters, trying to make an association. Right. And so the UFC tells you when it behooves them that we're trying to make our sport, our organization, like the NFL, like the NHL, which is not an apples to apples comparison. But then when the fighters say, hey, we want collective bargaining, we want revenue sharing, we want a little piece of the TV deal, it's like, eh, you know, this is a different kind of sport.
We had you on our show last week, and you were talking about the union and how the fighters get zero TV revenue yes. in the United States. If there was ever a sport, if there was ever a group of athletes that need to get at least a piece of the pie, it's MMA fighters, isn't it? Because yes. those guys literally risk their lives every time they get in the octagon.
Well, and not only that, they're not exactly interchangeable. Like, there is only one Ronda Rousey. There's only one Conor McGregor. There's only one GSP. You're a huge Habs fan. And while there may be dark days, while there may be ups and downs, you're watching for the logo, right? You're watching right. for the sweater. You will always watch for the sweater. That's not the case. You're watching fighting for the fighters. So they're the draw. Without them, there is no UFC. So I wholeheartedly agree that they need a piece of that pie.
Ariel Helwani is our guest. He is a super MMA journalist. He is here spending some time with us this weekend because UFC 206 is tomorrow night. Holloway versus Pettis.
Yes.
We'll get to the card. We'll get to...
I want your predictions. Yeah. I know you're a big fan.
Yeah, I'll give them to you coming up in a minute. But really thankful you're here. We'll get to more in depth with Ariel Helwani. He is here and he is next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Yeah, I can get behind it.
Morning. Ariel Helwani is here. He is a journalist, MMAfighting.com, host of the MMA Hour, MMA Beat. He's in studio. Thanks for coming.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, how did you, I wanted to ask you, how did you get to where you are? Take us through how you became the most respected journalist in mixed martial arts.
Well, thank you for that. It's a long story. I'll make it very short. I always wanted to be a journalist. I always wanted to be a broadcaster. I'm sitting in English class in the ninth grade in Montreal, Herzliya High School, and we're supposed to be reading an English book, and I have a Sports Illustrated in front tucked in, and it's one of those issues where they're talking about the best schools in the States for X, Y, and Z, and there was a little blurb that the best school for sports broadcasting in the States, Syracuse University, and I'm in the ninth grade, and I didn't even know that you can go to school for this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I say to myself, I'm going to Syracuse University, and I get to Syracuse University, and when I get there, everyone wants to be the same thing as me. Everyone wants to be the next Bob Costas, Marv Albert, basketball, baseball, football. So I say, everyone's going in this direction. I'm going to go in this direction. And this is 2001, before the UFC really blew up. And I remember telling my parents, who I believe are listening right now, so hello to my mother, who I love very much. I told them, in 10 years, this sport is going to be mainstream. In 10 years, I want to be the Howard Cosell of the sport. I want some executive in some office to be like, okay, I have to start covering the UFC. Who's the guy? Let me just hire him. Yeah. And that was the goal. And 10 years later, actually, I was hired by Fox. And, you know, I started my own website. You know, I took many steps to get there. Obviously, it wasn't mm-hmm. just, you know, waking up and dreaming. But I just felt like MMA was going to explode and worked really hard to get there.
Now your MMA Hour, which is online, is that yes. correct? Is really, really well listened to, well attended, and really the benchmark for a daily MMA program.
I hope so. So I try. You know, one of the things I love so much about MMA, as opposed to other sports, which I'm obviously a fan of, is the fighters are so accessible.
Yeah.
And they don't give you canned, boring answers. They're not coddled. They're just amazing personalities, as we were talking about earlier. And, you know, they're all pretty much, at this point, just a text away. You know, I can have the LeBron James of my sport on my show this coming Monday. Mm-hmm. If I was a basketball guy, it's impossible to get LeBron or Carmelo or Russell Westbrook, anyone like that. And so I love being able to talk to the big names each and every week, and I take pride on having the best lineups and the best names, and it's taken a while to get there. But, yeah, it's great because we have a studio somewhat like this, but it's also streamed live on YouTube so people can watch it. And we have a very big following overseas. And that's another thing. Like, if I was covering the Jays, you know, maybe I'd be known in Toronto. But if we go to Abu Dhabi or Australia, I'm sort of like a beat writer for the world. And I like that very much, how global the sport is.
Ariel Helwani, our guest, UFC 206 is in town this weekend. It's Holloway versus Pettis. We'll get to the card in just a second. We'll get to Ronda Rousey in just a second as well. Wanted to get to where you're at with Dana White. Now you got, you take us through the, because you made international news because Dana White and UFC basically told you, they banned you from UFC events.
They banned me for life. It was UFC 199. I believe it was June 4th of this past year. I'm at the Forum in Inglewood, California. And I broke the news that Brock Lesnar was close to coming back to the UFC, and also that the McGregor-Diaz fight, the rematch, was going to be August 20th in the span of like 30 minutes while in the media room. So I wasn't like in some hotel or at home. I was doing it kind of while covering a UFC event. And there had been a lot going on prior to that, and there was sort of a buildup, and they were upset that, in his words, that I kind of like spoiled the announcement of Lesnar's return.
Is that what he said to you?
Yes, among many other things.
What were some of those other things?
Oh my. Well, if you want to revisit it, I was called into like a hallway right before the main event, and I was told that Dana White wanted to speak to me. And at first I said I didn't want to go because I had a feeling what was going to happen. And they said, no, you must go. And so I took my cameraman with me. And he said, you know, get out. You're not welcome here. Don't ever come back. You can go cover Bellator if you want. He told me that I only care about myself, that I, you know, ruined the surprise for many of the fans. I was being selfish. And I tried to explain to him that what I was doing is no different than what a Woj does in basketball or a Schefter in NFL. I'm just reporting on news, breaking
Rosenthal
news.
Rosenthal baseball
and many, many more. Shai Davidi baseball as well.
Sportsnet.ca.
How about that? I met Arden Zwelling yesterday, who's a great guy. He was
awesome
at the UFC Media Day.
Yeah.
So anyway, I tried to explain. I said it wasn't personal. I'm just trying to do my job. And he didn't want to hear it. And I think.
Did he swear at you? Did he call you names?
He said, one thing that he said was that, you know, your career is over. You're never going to cover MMA. And there were some expletives.
And did he say the F? Did he say the F?
I don't recall.
Okay.
But.
Did he say the S?
It's. The point is, as you guys are trying to make a mockery of one of the lowest moments of my life, the point is that...
You won.
Well, no, that's not the point. The point is, like, the fans just really had my back. You know, it was just
amazing.
Well,
fans and journalists everywhere. It became a huge story. You had, like, some of the people that came out of the woodwork to support you, and rightfully so, and just talking to you on the phone, this few times we've talked to you, and you coming in here, I don't know that you'll find, from what I know of you and in circles that we all run in, you may be one of the nicest individuals on the planet as well.
Thank you for that. I mean, it was surreal because, like I said, I grew up idolizing broadcasters. Like, I would watch the NBA on NBC just to see what Albert or Costas would say and how they would act. So, like, all of a sudden on that Monday morning, I'm on with Dan Patrick and I'm on with Rich Eisen and Dan Lebatard. And it's like, what is happening here? You know, because I think that they thought this would remain in our little bubble, our MMA bubble, and things rarely get out of it, and then it just exploded, and I'm on like CBC News, and the Gazette in Montreal is asking me to interview with them, and I just couldn't believe what it turned into. And I'm so thankful for those broadcasters, and I'm really thankful for the fans as well, because the messages I was getting was just mind-blowing.
So quickly, how did that turn around? You get banned for life, and then in a span of I don't know how many days, who called you and what happened?
So I do my show, the MMA Hour, on Mondays.
Yeah.
I start doing some interviews. I go on air with my show, and usually I have like 8-9 guests. And I just did a 2-hour broadcast telling the entire 5-year story of what led to that point, because a lot of crazy things led to that point behind the scenes. And I just pretty much laid all my cards on the table. I mean, I have zero skeletons in my closet at this point. I said it all. Some things that maybe made me look not so good in front of, you know, some people, and just everything.
Yeah.
And it was emotional, and I shed some tears, which people continue, you know, like they'd like to take jabs at me for that. I'm a super sensitive guy. I have no problem with that. And that's actually still to this day our most watched broadcast. Over 500,000 people were watching it. And it was, again, surreal. So I go home that day, and in my mind, I'm like coming to terms with the fact that I'm banned and this is who I am. And I actually went on SportsCenter in the States, ESPN. I did an interview about it, and we pre-taped it. And in the middle of the taping and the airing, we got a call from the UFC saying they want to rectify this and they want to unban me. And then I had to go back on SportsCenter to tape another interview to talk about now being unbanned. a surreal 48 hours. I don't know if it could get more surreal than that for me.
Well, I tell you what, it was such a story and well deserved. The way that you
the banning
it.
Or
no, okay. The publicity and the support you got was well deserved.
You know, I think everyone can kind of relate to being in a situation where someone that you cover, at least if you cover sports or cover any kind of news, they're upset at you. But I obviously don't think that they handled it the right way, and I'm happy to sort of report, if you will, that they treat me fine now. There's no problems. I'd love if the relationship with Dana was a little better. Mm-hmm. We used to have a fantastic relationship. And honestly, if he never speaks to me again, I will have probably interviewed him for more hours than anyone in my entire career if I continue to do this till I'm 60. He was incredibly kind to me and accessible to me. And I hope that one day we're able to get back to that point.
Ariel Helwani, our guest, UFC 206, is Saturday, Holloway versus Pettis. Real quick, and sure. We're running out of time.
You're always running out of time with me. I mean, I was told I was getting an hour here, by the way.
You were told an hour?
Honestly, it was an hour and a half. I'm kidding.
Did we tell him an hour?
No. He told me 30 minutes.
I tell you what, I could keep you here. Do we have anything at 8?
No, it's okay.
Does he got to go?
No, see.
Can we stretch him out?
He has to go to the weigh-ins at 8:30.
Oh.
Is what I was told by Ariel.
He's making up lies.
Oh, I get it.
That's not making up lies. Love you, Ryan.
This is no disrespect, but the card, obviously you had a cancellation for UFC 206. Not a ton of personality on this card. But off the air, you said, hey, this is going to be a great fight night. Wonderful fight night.
This is a hardcore fans type of card, honestly. And I have no kind of stakes here. I don't make money off of this. It's a really good card with a lot of great fighters and fun matchups. Max Holloway and Anthony Pettis are two of the most exciting fighters in their respective division. Holloway, in particular, has won 9 fights in a row. Anthony Pettis is a former lightweight champion. There's fighters like Donald Cerrone, Tim Kennedy, Emil Mech, who's that fighter that I was telling you about earlier, the Norwegian fighter, is making his UFC debut. And there's a guy by the name of Misha Cirkunov, who is originally from Latvia, now living and training in Toronto, who's an up-and-comer who's also fighting on the card. So if you're a fan of fighting and up-and-comers and rising stars, exciting fighters, this is the card for you.
Tomorrow night, UFC 206 at the Air Canada Center. Ariel, absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for coming in. You're wonderful to talk to, and hopefully next week we can get back, talk about this weekend, next week, and talk a little Ronda Rousey as well.
My pleasure. Go Habs.
Yeah,
all the best to you guys.
That's where you're going wrong. Ariel Helwani, everybody. Hold on. It is 7:57. Jason Lacanfora, NFL Insider, CBS Sports, is next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.